from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We are live from the Legacy Club here at MetLife Stadium for the Giants Fan Fest, and we are now joined by a very popular reality TV star. I think we can add that title to him. He's also the owner, executive vice president, chief operating officer, Mr. John Maurer. Mr. Maurer, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I think you screwed up my titles a little bit. But
what is your title?
Okay.
We always call you the owner. Like, what is the official title?
From president and CEO.
President and CEO.
I'm just happy to be here.
Well, thank you. Did you like the title of reality TV star?
No, I didn't like that one at all.
But you were good at it. You came off all right.
That. I don't know about that. Yeah. You should see the stuff we edited out of there.
Now, I'm curious. What is the juiciest thing you edited out?
We're not going to go into that.
Just tell us. It's all good.
What made you, because we all loved it. I got to tell you, it was great stuff. It was great TV. What made you decide, you know what, this is good to be a part of Hard Knocks?
Well, there were a few things. You know, obviously, that's our 100th season coming up, and Hard Knocks had never done anything, in the off season. And originally, the concept was, to follow our scouts and personnel people around. It wasn't going to be called Hard Knocks, and the people from NFL Films approached us and said, you know, Hard Knocks has such a brand name and a brand identity. We really like to call it that. And several meetings later, I relented and finally agreed to it. And I was pleased with the way it came out. There were some uncomfortable moments in there, obviously. But all in all, it was a very honest look at what goes on in the off season in terms of the scouting and making decisions in free agency and the draft. And, what you saw is really the way it is.
You know, John, I think there are two things that were lasting for people watching Hard Knocks. One was the Saquon Barkley decision, situation, and you said it kind of like I said it. You don't want him to see him in Philly, and he ends up in Philly. And the second one was the potential of moving on from Daniel Jones. And I think that still persists a little bit. What is the mindset right now about your quarterback?
I mean, I think we all feel really good about Daniel. I think we have a better team around him this year. He's healthy. He's looking really good in practice, moving around really well. And we're excited about this season. Everybody out there has been killing him all year. And when you look at what happened last year, you know, he got hurt. The offensive line got hurt. Mm-hmm. We had trouble blocking anybody. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. So I think we're due for some good luck, to be honest with you.
Well, it feels like it.
And, you know, you can't have a better, young man in your organization. Nobody works harder than him. Nobody's more popular in that locker room than he is. So we expect really good things
for him this year. Yeah, I think he's been the leader for a long time. And people outside the organization don't know that. But even when Jason Garrett was here and I did his camp down in Princeton, he told me the exact same thing. He works the hardest. He's there first. He stays the longest. And I think with all of the talent you guys have focused on putting around him, there's the expectation internally is much greater than I think the expectation externally.
I think that's right. I mean, he played really well for us in 2022, and despite the fact that we, you know, as I've said many times and been quoted many times, we did everything possible prior to that to screw up his career by, you know, and I take a lot of the blame for that, making changes in coaches all the time. That never helps a player develop, but I think we've got the right staff with him right now, and as I said before, if he can stay healthy, I think, you know, he's poised to have a very good year and surprise a lot of people.
John, you made sure to tell the world on Hard Knocks Saquon was the team's most popular player. I got to tell you, as a Giant fan now, all we could do is drool over Malik Nabers. Do you fully expect him to slide in and kind of take that mantle from Saquon?
Yeah, I hate to put that kind of pressure on him. But I mean, I hated losing Saquon because not only was he a great player for us, but he was a great representative for us off the field, too. He was really everything you want in a player. But I understood the decision, and you know, I've always felt that you know, you have to let the general manager and the head coach do their jobs. And I understood that we had other needs that we had to fill. And you know, getting Malik Nabers, I think, will really help our offense. He does have a unique skill set, and it's exciting just watching him in practice. And looking forward to seeing him on Sunday.
I got to call a timeout real quick. You are not allowed to call him John. You have to call him Mr. Mara.
No, that's not true.
You
no.
have to call him Mr. Mara.
Hey, Dickie, my father. My father was Mr. Mara.
I know
Mara,
that, but he has to yeah. call you
Sorry,
Mr.
Mara. Sorry, Mr. Mara.
Thank you. You're embarrassing me, Sean. I bring you to something nice. You get all churched up, and then you embarrass me.
I looked the part.
I know you did.
I was embarrassed for you. Mr. Mara, here's what
Thank
I'm
you.
Curious
Thank you,
about.
Evan. Thank you, Evan.
I would be, as a diehard sports fan of my teams, a terrible owner. Because I would basically tell my general manager, I want this guy back. Go make it happen. How do you balance being a guy who loves your football team, has opinions, because you do, but not forcing your general manager to do something you want that maybe he doesn't?
It's a difficult line sometimes. It really is, because I certainly wanted him back. But, you know, unless it's a conduct issue, I'm never going to say, no, you know, you have to sign this guy, or no, you can't sign that guy. That's the only time I'm going to get involved. Now, I'll give my opinion, but, you know, we pay these guys a lot of money, and I have a lot of respect for the amount of work that they put in. I mean, there's no harder working staff that I've ever seen than Joe Shane and the people that work with him. And at the end of the day, you have to let them make the decisions. I mean, that's why they've been hired.
Yeah, I don't want this to get hard-hitting, so I want to bring it back to what we're here for.
This is hard-hitting?
No, but I can tell where Evan wants to go.
Where am I going?
He's a Jet fan.
You know where I'm going next?
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Talk about the Giant 100 season. This season, it's shaping up to be interesting on the field, but it's all of this other stuff that's happening. It's why we're here broadcasting from the Legacy Club. All the legends, at least the living ones, and even the ones that have passed, their families are coming in for this weekend. I mean, how special is this? And it's a testament to the resiliency and the history of this great organization.
No, it's a great celebration for us. Just standing out there and welcoming all the people as they're walking in and seeing a lot of familiar faces mm-hmm. And then seeing the families of players that have passed on. You know, it's an honor for me to be here and to be able to welcome them. And, you know, they're the reason that you know, we have the history that we have and the popularity that we have and whatever success we've had is due to the people that are walking through that door and their families. And so it is very special for us. You know, we've had a lot of great years, a lot of not so great years, but, you know, not a lot of franchises can say that they're starting their 100th season.
Who was your favorite over the years, going back to when you were a kid?
Is he expecting me to pick him?
Yes. Yeah.
No, you don't have to pick me. I didn't win you a championship, John. But who was your favorite?
You know, for me as a kid, my first hero was Frank Gifford, for sure. He was you know, such a great player for us and such a personality and you know, number 16. And he was somebody that everybody just gravitated towards. And there were a lot of guys since then, guys like Spider Lockhart and Tucker Fredrickson and people like that. You know, as a kid, you know, you're really in awe of a lot of these guys. But, you know, Emlyn Tennell, for me, I never saw him as a player, but he was a coach and a scout for us. It was probably, might have been my all-time favorite just because of what a great person he was and great player and war hero. He was everything. And you know, that's why I have his portrait hanging outside of my office. But a lot of great players have passed through these doors and a lot of great men as well.
I've noticed, and we've had fun with this, that there are legendary Giants, people who are part of the organization, who love this franchise. I always play this clip of Bill Belichick where he says Giants and he's like crying. He loves this Giant organization. Yeah. Could you see a scenario now that he's no longer with New England where he ever comes back to the Giant family?
I have a head coach that I'm very happy with. I'm not going down there.
I wasn't saying that.
I keep reading that he's waiting in the wings, but, you know, we're very happy.
You see why I tried to derail him, John? You see why I tried to, like, turn the corner?
Hold on a second. Hold on. In fairness.
He's a Jet fan.
I said no.
And he's scarred because of Bill Belichick. You understand this, right?
I didn't say the head coaching job. I said just being a part of the organization. He's a brilliant
He is a part of the organization.
His Bill Belichick?
His history is here.
But,
he won two Super Bowls here as a defensive coordinator.
I get that. I'm saying coming back into the family. That's all I was asking.
You know there's a saying, right?
He never left the family.
Once a giant, always a giant.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He never left the family, but, you know, that's another question for another day. But I'm very happy with who we have right now.
Now, Mr. Mara, one giant legend I didn't know nearly enough was Ray Flaherty, and I got to know all about his history because of what happened last week. I personally, as a young fan, loved that the number was unretired because it got to teach me about Ray Flaherty. Is that a very unique situation, or do you think that's something that could exist down the line more?
It was a very unique situation. It's the first time we've ever done that. In fact, Ray Flaherty Jr. happens to be here. I just met him for the first time a few minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
And he came in, and the first thing he said to me was, "You were right." And I said, "Right about what?" And he said, "About this decision." What I said to him was, you ought to think about doing it because it will educate people and our fans out there who Ray Flaherty was. Nobody really knew who
right,
he was.
Right. Gonzaga.
Who number one was. And now people know that. And Malik Nabers was so happy to get that number and has promised us that he's going to do everything in his power to represent the Flaherty family and the organization well. And I think it was a good story for us. And the Flaherty family was happy. And we would not have done it unless we got their blessing.
Right.
How does a process like that start? Like, who asked who?
Did Malik want it?
He wanted it, and I think it was Joe Shane came to me and said, "Do you think there's any chance?" And I said, "You know what? Maybe let me talk to the Flaherty family, and if they're willing to do it, then okay. If they're not willing to do it, then we're not going to unretire it under any circumstances." And had a couple of conversations with Ray Jr., and they eventually agreed to do it. So I think it worked out well. And as I said, the best part of it is just educating people about their dad and who Ray Flaherty was.
Do you think that there's a chance you're going to reach out to your brothers across the river and in the Bronx and get them to unretire some of their numbers for some of their current stars? Because everybody is retired over there.
Yeah, we've retired so many numbers that it's very difficult. You see, you come to one of our preseason games, we have, I don't know how many players with double numbers on the field. And that's because we've retired just too many numbers. But, you know, they were all deserving. And, you know, when you're around for 100 years, you have a lot of great players.
We're talking to the owner, the president of the New York Football Giants, John Mara. Any interest in bringing the Super Bowl back to MetLife Stadium?
I think that's something we would be interested in. I've had some conversations over the years with Woody Johnson about that. It, you know, we take a lot of work, and we have the World Cup final coming here in 2026. At some point in the future, you know, the owners like to have the game played either in warm weather or, you know, in a dome. It was a tough sale last time to get them to agree to do it here, but it ended up working out well, except for the next day when we had that snowstorm.
That's right.
But I don't think it's out of the question that we could have another one.
Because I'd love to see it, and I know that owners feel that way. As a football fan, football's supposed to be played in the elements. Like, well, I mean, what's the big deal if it's 35 degrees and snowing?
That was our sales pitch.
I'm with
back
you.
Then, but
the fans.
You got to convince 24 owners to vote for you. So.
So basically you're telling me it's probably not going to happen. You're interested, but it's probably not going to happen.
I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't say it's at the top of our list of priorities, but it is an ongoing conversation, let's put it that way.
How often do you communicate with the head coach, with Brian Daboll, with Joe Shane? Are you talking to them every day, every hour? Do you give them their space? Like, give me a kind of a feeling on the interactions between you and your guys.
I mean, I talk with Joe every day. Either I'll walk down to his office or I'll walk down to mine or I'll talk to him on the phone. With Brian, at least a couple times a week, usually right after practice, ask him how things are going. I rarely will go into his office and, you know, because he's always, you know, working, meeting with coaches, coming up with a game plan and whatnot. So I try to give him a little bit of space. But my communication is more often with Joe.
It's interesting that because we did a piece on your father on Wellington, and I'm not sure when NFL Films is coming out with that, but he was always at practice. He was always sitting there with his chair, and you felt his presence. It's different now. Because you can just sit in your office and see practice. It wasn't the dungeon that was the old Giant Stadium. Everything was underground. So you had to actually go out and do it. How into what's happening on the field on a daily basis are you?
I like to go out and watch practice just to see what we're doing, you know, whether we're moving guys to different positions, what the game plan looks like for the week, who looks like they're healthy, who looks like they're not going to make it, just to have a feel for what's going on. But I certainly don't try to influence any of that at all. But I do like to be out there. I like the players to see me out there so that they know I am interested in what's going on. And it's a great way to just kind of evaluate your coaches too.
Yeah,
you know, who are the teachers, who are the guys that you really need to keep an eye on.
Right. Does that matter to you how your coaches are teaching? Because I think it matters how coaches. We were having this conversation about Sam Darnold and how he was basically failed in the entire path of his career, maybe until this year. And you mentioned it, even changing coaches, changing coordinators. It's hardest on quarterbacks, but you as an owner, you have to look at how people teach. Right, it matters because success and failure can be kind of indicated by how guys are being taught.
Yeah, no question. It's the ability to teach and the ability to communicate and the ability to lead. Mm. And I think I feel very confident that Brian Daboll has all those qualities, and that's why I'm excited about him as our head coach.
What is a good season in your mind?
I'm not kidding. I want to feel like when I walk off the field after the last game that, man, we really made some progress this year. We are headed in the right direction. So I'm not going to say that we need to win, you know, 9 games or 10 games or whatever. Just allow me to feel, allow our fans to feel like our future is bright. We are headed in the right direction, and that can take a lot of different
forms. The in-the-hunt graphic, that's what I like to say. If you're in-the-hunt graphic in December, like, all right, you've had yourself a season, right?
I mean, my father used to kind of feel like, at a bare minimum, you wanted to be playing meaningful games in December, late in December, and you know, that's kind of a minimum standard right there. I just want to feel like we've improved the team, and we have a chance with this group to get to the next level.
It feels like each of the last 2 years, the tone was set for better or for worse in week one. Last year, obviously, with Dallas, week one, the crazy win versus Tennessee. Do you feel like that kind of is the pressure here versus Minnesota on Sunday?
I mean, I feel that. I'm still scarred by that opening game last year, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming at all, and that really kind of set the tone for the rest of the season. I know it's a long season. There's 17 games. That one game shouldn't make a difference, but, you know, we lost our left tackle for a long period of time during that stretch, and a few other guys got hurt that night as well, so it really ended up setting the tone, I think, for the rest of the season. So, I feel some pressure going into this game, and with the celebration that we have this weekend and everything, you certainly want to win the game and give something to the fans.
I hope you don't take this as an insult, what I'm about to say.
I'm sure I will, but that's okay.
I warned you.
No, okay. Maybe you won't take it as an insult. I've always felt from afar, as an owner, you remind me of myself. In that,
I do take that. I mean, my God,
I take it. Here's my stereotype of you, Mr. John Mara. During games, you get pissed, you get angry, you get excited. That's the kind of fan I am. Like, I'm cursing out my players, even if I love them, because, you know, I can't see that pick six by Zach Wilson. You know what I'm saying? So when you watch games, probably at home more than even here, where people can keep an eye on you, are you that kind of crazy fan the way I think you are?
Yeah.
I knew it.
You're me.
Just not as nerdy.
Yeah, I just there are times where I do get upset during the game. Yeah, I can remember, you know, when my father was still alive, he would sit behind me, you know, on a high chair there, and there were times where his hand would go down on my shoulder and say, knock it off, you know? That usually worked when he did that, but he's no longer with us. So there are times. That's why I can't sit in the family suite or in the press box. I've got to kind of be quarantined.
Guys, you know, I think about some owners around the NFL, and it's a business for them. It's not family. This feels like family for you, and so you're not going anywhere anytime soon. Are you still loving this?
No, I do. I mean, I was thinking about that today. I love, you know, the Friday practice, the last real practice before the game, and seeing, you know, what we're doing, and the lunch afterwards, and, you know, talking to the head coach, and it's exciting. It really is. It is still fun. It's not so much fun when you're losing, believe me, but there's always hope, and I think with the group that we have now, there's a lot of reason for hope.
Mr. Maurer, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for having us here.
Thanks very much. Appreciate you guys.
There he is, the owner of the New York Football Giants, John Maurer. We are live from the Legacy Club here at MetLife Stadium. It's a big Giants fan fest. It's a festival. It's a party because 100 seasons of New York Giant football is pretty impressive. It's been a very, very long run. Thank you very much, sir. Very much appreciated. Evan and Tiki, we are live here. Commercial free, believe it or not, until 7 o'clock. So we appreciate getting that opportunity to be here at MetLife Stadium at this beautiful club that features like all the great history of the New York Giants. And speaking of the great history of the New York Football Giants, a man who you watched win Super Bowls, a man who you may have heard with me and Joe for like 15 years. That's right, the man, the killer, Carl Banks. Carl, good to see you. It feels like it's a Monday or Friday with Beningo when I see you. How you been, man? How's it going?
I am awesome.
Looking good.
I'm hot.
You're hot.
But I did the thing that Tiki Barber would do if he wasn't on radio.
What was that?
Go down there and touch the fans, sign autographs, take pictures.
That's right.
That's what he does.
It was so hot, it was sweating down my back.
It was nice until about an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
And then the sun came out and it got beaming.
Yeah, it's hot. But I, you know, that's what they came for. So right.
How packed is it down there, Carl?
It's incredibly
It's like
crowded.
Game day? Not quite,
yes,
but close?
But there's a line out to the plaza to get into a locker room tour, and then the plaza has all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's an incredible sight to
see. Right. We don't feel that because we've been up here since 1:30 or so, 1 o'clock or so. So we haven't seen the masses of people.
It is a lot.
It feels like it.
How long have you now been broadcasting Giant football?
I would say probably 15 years now.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a run because I remember in 2007 being there with you.
Yeah.
You've been a Giant for like the majority of your life as
Correct.
A player, obviously now as a broadcaster. What does it mean to be a New York Giant?
It means everything because, you know, when you can have success in this city and we were part of an era that brought the fans out of the wilderness, right? And we gave them their first Super Bowl, and then we were able to win a lot of games over the 9 years I were here. I think we missed the playoffs once. And so it means everything because the fan base is so appreciative. And again, it's not a love-hate, but it's just this, I'm so conflicted because of the negativity that's out there, but
right.
I get it. I understand it.
Yeah,
because,
it's passion.
Yeah, it's passion. You know, there are some that are, you know, I call them goofies, but not all of them. Not the majority of them.
Right.
But, like, the anger, the angst, the anxiety around this football team, I understand it. Like, I never had to experience it because we won.
Yeah.
But it's understandable, and I think, you know, this team and the fans deserve a team that will give effort and win football games. I think when the effort is there and there are some wins, that's improvement, and I think this fan base will really gravitate towards that.
Yeah, one of the things, Carl, that makes you so fun to follow on on X is that you don't care. You really don't. You're just going to tell it how it is. And it's because you are a champion. It's because you're an all-time great Giant. But the interactions with the fan is something that I've grown to appreciate from you because I don't do it.
I know.
Like, I don't interact on social media with
But that's your constitution. Like, you're going to be like, I'm putting the veneers up. You can go away.
Right.
Like, me, I'm just like, okay, well, we're going to have a conversation. And I think that's probably comes from my father. My father was a great debater, right?
Okay.
But he was the guy that would debate you and never change his demeanor.
Hmm.
Right,
so he wasn't getting mad or
no, he
or,
just he would just hit you with whatever he wanted to hit you
right,
with
facts,
and then you know you just sit there flustered or whatever. But I enjoy interacting with Giants fans, sports fans in general, and Knicks fans. But you know, Giant fans are, you know, we are in an ecosystem right now where if a so-called expert says something, it makes its way throughout the entire fan base, right?
It becomes fact, even
and
if
it
it's
becomes
not.
Fact, and then you try to kind of talk a little bit about it and say, here's some things that you should look at. And sometimes, you know, people listen, sometimes they don't. But I don't, you know, listen, I work for the Giants, but I am allowed to speak my mind, mm-hmm. and I am as critical as anybody of this team when they're not playing well. And, you know, I can do that because I was one of the standard bearers, just like you.
Right.
You know, we created a standard, and so when we can look at a player and say he's not performing well, and we can do it without making it personal, and we do that.
Right. It's not hate. It's just just facts.
Yes.
And it's what the expectation is to be a New York Giant. And, you know, you called the preseason, so you've seen this team, mm-hmm. And kind of what they're evolving into.
Sure.
I think the roster is getting better. It's not fully there yet, but mm-hmm. it's getting better. What is your expectation of this team? Because outside of here, it's five wins. Some
yeah,
people say four wins.
Listen.
But I think they're a better team than that. But I don't know how much better.
Well, it really comes down to health, Tiki.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was just having this conversation with Vinny Detrani. It's eight teams that we know about. The other ones that are in contention past Thanksgiving are the ones that are healthy, right? And the Giants' offensive line stays healthy. They're going to have a chance to win games. And that's just the bottom line because they're in a pool of other teams that are just trying to figure out how to get there.
Yes.
And if you're healthy enough and you do have some level of talent and you have coaching, you're going to give yourself a chance. You know, you're going to be in the discussion for wild card when those discussions start.
If this team is good, and I think they have a chance to me, their identity is going to be on defense and getting to the quarterback. The addition of Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence is already a star.
Sure.
Kayvon's getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
As a defensive man at heart, how good do you think this defense can be?
Well, I'm going to caution you.
Yes, caution me.
They have a young defensive backfield,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to give up some big plays. And they're going to grow. But the key to this defense, obviously, yes, pressuring the quarterback, but the hallmark of this defense, especially the first quarter of the season, is how well they'll play red zone defense. It really comes down to that. They'll tackle well. They'll do a lot of things, but there are going to be some mistakes. They're a young defensive backfield. I liken it to when Coach Spagnuolo was here in the early parts of the seasons, they would give up 500 yards.
Famously in 07, right?
Yeah.
Those two disasters.
And then they just they got it together and they start going. I don't know. I'm not predicting that, but I'm saying prepare yourself for some ugly play. It may not happen. They have a good defensive coordinator in Shane Bowen. But with a young defensive backfield, you're going to have mistakes. You know, you have young, inexperienced safeties. You've got a young, inexperienced, highly touted cornerback in Deontay Banks. Adoree.
Yeah, he's a vet.
Adoree's a vet, but he's just – I mean, look, he hasn't even covered anybody yet. He's been at home covering,
right.
you know, whoever. So it's going to take – I don't think
his
they're
going to
put – right. He's not going to be running up and down the field, you know, chasing wide receivers because he's going to end up getting hurt if he does that. So it's going to take a minute. But the hallmark of a good coach is to kind of mitigate against – your vulnerability, you know, try to coach and make sure that you don't get exposed all the time because there are going to be plays where teams are going to be, well, we're just better than them on this play. But
yeah.
if you can protect your vulnerabilities and scheme around them, you'll be fine. But there's going to be some ups and downs.
For the fans sitting down on their couch on a Sunday who's unfamiliar with Shane Bowen and the way he runs defense, what about it stylistically will look different than what Wink Martindale brought to the table last year?
Well, he doesn't blitz a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be fundamentally sound with his core four, and he's probably going to play some matchup zone, some zone, but you're going to see a more fundamentally sound team, and it won't be as chaotic. And that's not – I mean, that's Wink's calling card. He likes chaos.
Right.
And it creates that for offenses, you know, a lot. But this one is a little different. You're going to see more of a more structured defense, guys that are going to run and hit and tackle well. That's going to be what they do.
Talking to the great Carl Banks. We are live from the Legacy Club here at MetLife
Carl,
Stadium.
I want to ask you about something that I have to attribute to Robert Saleh. It's a Jet quote, but it
we Robert did, we, Saleh.
Oh boy.
We did a
we're quoting Bob Saleh now.
We did one of his games, and I was asking him why he had safeties playing linebacker. Because he had a couple of young safeties trying to convert them to linebackers. And I'd say this because Those guys were like 6'1", 215 pounds, mm-hmm. playing linebacker. And then I look at you, and I look at your crew when you were playing. You guys were massive.
Yeah.
Like massive. And so what he said to me was, the evolution of the running back has outpaced the evolution of the linebacker. And so linebackers who are being tasked to cover, we saw this last night, actually, with Patrick Queen getting toasted by Xavier Worthy, who they would stick in the slot. The linebacker has evolved a lot over the last, whatever it is, 20, 30 years from you. But it's like, where do you see it going? Because you kind of need to still bang.
You got to
cover.
Well, the advantage is going to be to the offense, because when you put little guys in there, they're going to run on you. You put big guys in there, they're going to pass on you.
Right.
The problem with the play of linebacker, or the challenge right now, is all those guys play offense. They're playing tight end. Some of them are running backs, and they're playing basketball. That's just the reality of it. My crew, I would bet anybody that most of our linebackers could play in today's game because we were all basketball players.
Right.
We all ran, you know, so it's different now. These guys, they're kind of sports-specific, position-specific. In their training, they just don't do it the way they just train for certain things.
Right, they don't do the change of direction stuff. They don't do the acceleration, all that other things.
And they don't play other sports.
Right.
That's the other thing. But the offenses have just evolved because it's always cat and mouse now.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever your personnel is, they have something that you can't cover. Right? So if you got two good cornerbacks and they put four wide receivers and three of those four wide receivers are number ones or number one quality caliber,
right?
Who's covering them?
Right. You're stuck.
You're stuck because you can't double everybody, right? So it's always an offensive slanted league now, and that's by design, and I'm okay with it. I used to be upset, but like, look, people don't come to see defense anymore. You know, they want big plays here or there, but the rules changes. It's not my NFL anymore, and I'm okay with it.
Right.
You know?
Speaking of which, if you – and we're talking to Carl Banks. If you were in today's modern NFL, in your prime, you're in your 20s, what is the biggest thing you'd have to do differently to play in this version of the NFL?
Oh, he'd be a DN. He might be a D-tackle.
You know what? I'll tell you. The one thing that I would have to do differently is not be so mean.
Yes.
You get penalized all day.
You know what? That's right. That's absolutely right.
It's the game I played was ruthless.
Yeah.
Right? We played to make our opponent quit. And whatever we needed to do that, it's different now. I mean, again, it's not my NFL now, and I'm okay with it. Right? But if you're asking me, that would be the change. Because if I could transport my mentality into today's game, it wouldn't be fair.
Yeah.
I guarantee you it wouldn't be fair because we played differently. Right, and we played for keeps. We didn't talk before games to our opponents. And I tell this story all the time. When Washington Redskins came here, it happened twice. Once my rookie year and a couple years later, Harry Carson, he grabs me, grabs Gary Reasons. He says, come with me. We didn't have any pads.
Before your pads.
Right, when they're stretching, right, and they're running through there. Harry takes us. We walk through. The Washington Redskins walks right up to George Rogers and he says, homeboy, you're going to fumble twice today. He turns around, we turn around, and we walk back to our locker room. Guess what George Rogers did that day?
Put that ball on the ground.
Fumbled twice. But, like, that doesn't happen now, right? And
so you brought that to Twitter now, Carl, is what you
Wouldn't it be awesome if somebody did that today, though? Like a defensive, because there's no penalty.
But they wouldn't.
That.
I think what Carl is saying is that it's two buddies.
Dude, you're right.
But they exchange jerseys after.
And listen, I'm okay with it. I'm not the guy who's going to say that. Back in the day, it is what it is, right? And if these guys can function in this environment and make a lot of money, I'm more than happy for it. But it's just. It's different, and I'm good with it. I enjoy it. I watch it as a fan still. I still get a chance to analyze, you know, how people play and what their fundamentals are. And, you know, that's the other thing about when you're asking me about the Giants' chances this year. If they're going to be fundamentally sound, that gives them a chance because that's the other part. More teams lose than they win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you do the little things right, you'll give your team a chance to be in football games.
Carl, I'm very curious your opinion on this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Are the Jets going to be very good this year? Oh. I trust his expert NFL opinion. We talked to him about a lot over the years. What do you think?
It's, they could be scary.
Yeah.
Scary good.
Yeah.
If this quarterback is healthy, and because he has the same amount of personnel that he had when he was really good in Green Bay, where he didn't have to do a lot.
But and a better defense.
And a much better defense.
Yeah.
I think they can be scary. Scary good.
You didn't ask the question the right way, Evan.
Go ahead.
And they're nasty.
Better end result of the season, the Jets or the Knicks?
Oh, the Knicks.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
The Knicks.
I mean, you guys are losing in the Eastern Conference semis like you do every single year.
At least they get there.
Enjoy Mikal Bridges.
Have you guys sniffed anything in contention in the last seven, 8 years?
By about like a half a centimeter.
And Isaiah Likely toe.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Carl. Always good talking to you, man.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure being here.
Great Carl Banks, ladies and gentlemen, as we are talking at Giant Legends here at the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. Great seeing you, man. And we're about to be joined by a man that ruined my life. I mean, I'm being perfectly honest. He's a great, great player. He's a great, great person. But I think the healthy thing I need to do, the first thing I've got to tell him is just to be honest. I can't lie. How are you, sir? Whatever.
He hates you, by the way.
I want to say this very
nicely. He doesn't
nicely.
Like you at all.
Not as a person. You're a fine guy.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to say that you ruined
my
life.
You know what's great? This will change your opinion.
Ooh.
Same kicks.
Boom.
Oh, you guys are wearing the same.
What up?
That's because we just cut from the same cloth.
That's right,
man. That red, white, and blue cloth that you're surrounded by.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Victor,
you know
were they a Christmas present in 2011?
Son of
They might have been. The colors are definitely indicating that, but they were a present nonetheless. Yeah. They were free.
That's why you ruined my life. I'm a Jet fan. It's probably like the single worst like Jet moment of my lifetime.
Oh, man.
So,
oh, man.
To be fair, I just want to rip the Band-Aid off for myself and for you and for Giant fans. This is a Giant event. Take us through that moment as you're still running.
I mean, that was just a moment I obviously never forget. Our offense was kind of stalling up until that point. Really couldn't get anything going. Defensively, you know, you guys were owning us up until that point, and our backs were up against the wall, obviously, on our own 1 yard line. And I remember I just had a simple hook route. Let's just get in. You, if you know that Gilbride offense, you better know how to run a hook route, because if not, you will not be on the field. So I run a hook route. I'm like, okay, I'll get the ball 10 yards. Let's get the chains moving. And when I broke out to catch it, I saw the DB kind of went underneath trying to pick it off, and I caught it. And I knew once he went underneath, I was like, oh, there's got to be some room over there. When I turned the corner, I turned, saw Cromartie, hit him with a little 1-2, and then I came up the sideline. And when I saw Brad Smith, I said, listen, man, I can't let – a white DB catch me in front of my parent, in front of my mom, my grandma. That was the one rule. I would never live it down. You guys don't understand. I'm from Paterson, New Jersey. I will never live that down. So I put on a little extra for that.
I was going to say, you had extra jets for
that. I had a little extra for that. And then got in the end zone and the rest is history.
Well, you know what, Victor Cruz, you just made me smile. It's the first time I've ever talked about this play, and then I was like, all right, I smirked a
little bit. Now you've talked about this play with the principle of this play.
Yeah.
And so now you have some joviality.
Yeah,
there we go. Yeah, along with it.
Sometimes, at some point in life, I'll get over it. Is that for you, like, I mean, think about it. You had a great career here. You become a Giant legend. You won a Super Bowl. Is that singular play your favorite football moment?
It's up there. It's tough to choose that one as, like, I've had so many, like, great moments throughout my career. The one that sticks out to me the most is, unfortunately, against your Jets again, but my very first game in the preseason as an undrafted free agent.
That's when we knew you were making the team,
That's the one that, like, it's hard for me to not have that one as number one because I kind of come from obscurity, right?
Yeah.
Nobody really knew who I was. And to come out 3 touchdowns all in the second half. After, you know, the whole first half, I'm just playing special teams and I'm, like, anxious to just play offense. And then my very first play on offense, Shout out to Jim Sorgi. I knew he was just like waiting for – he was going to throw it to me no matter what. Like you could just see – and I watched the replay. He dropped back, didn't even look anywhere else. He's just looking at me the whole time. And I was able to come down with it one-handed and kind of get into the end zone. And it's hard to not have that entirety of a moment not be number one.
You know, when you think back on your career, the injuries are what ultimately cut it short. Mm-hmm. And do you feel shorted? You know what I mean? Like, you was great without
of course.
The length.
Of course.
But, I mean, you could have really been something really special statistically.
I'd be lying if I didn't say that, like, I didn't think about if I played 15, 12, 13 right. years, what it would look like. You know what I mean? I'd be lying if I didn't say I didn't think that. But I think overall, I think I've experienced so much in the NFL in such a finite amount of time that wasn't, you know, that was on purpose.
Right.
Like God had it for me right. in this way. Like for me to experience Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, the highs of the high, and then feel the lowest of the low, and then come back from the low and just be able to suit up again and really appreciate it. I think I was meant to have that journey so that I can give that story back to players all around the league.
Interesting.
I think that's really
good. I
got to
say, I mean, so many Giants, and I think it's because we are the New York Giants and we are in the media capital of the world.
Yeah.
You're able to maximize success.
Big time.
I'm not talking about on the field. I'm talking about off of it. And you've done it in just so many different different ways. I mean, people talk about being a Giant, and it's a Giant for life thing, but there really is like a tangible benefit to being loved here.
100%. And not only, obviously, did I play for this team, but I'm from a stone's throw away, grew up watching this team, grew up being, you know, a fan of every player that came through here. I mean, there's still some restaurants in New Jersey that I haven't paid a single bill at. Like, that's like that's a real thing. Right. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there's something not only just, like, that theory of always a Giant and kind of the tangible. There is a tangible thing that is being a Giant and being in that leadership, in that hierarchy of Giants, that really is a tangible, feelable thing outside of the game for sure.
We're talking to Victor Cruz. You mentioned that preseason, and that one did not bother me because it's the preseason.
Of course.
And I was rooting for you. You know, local guy. And I think now anytime someone plays well in the preseason, it's like, can that be Victor Cruz? Can that be the next Victor Cruz? For you, as it was happening, did you sense, I'm going to make this team and this is going to happen for me? Were you still worried, you know, this may not happen. I'm playing well, but there's no guarantee I'm going to be on this team. What was going through your mind?
Well, yeah, you never know, obviously, right? You never know. Like, you could have a 3-touchdown performance and get cut the next day just because of sheer numbers and contracts. You just never know how the business of it, how it works. I think I feel like I had a chance. I knew I had a chance, mainly because I had been doing things like that in practice all leading up to that game. So I knew, like, within the building, I think they knew what they had and they knew what type of person and player I was. And then now to put it on the main stage and prove it to everybody around the league and kind of put everybody on notice, like, hey, look, if the Giants didn't pick me after this, I was pretty confident I was going to have a job somewhere. So I'm happy it ended up the way it did. But you never know. At the end of that game, after 3 touchdowns, you're kind of like 90% of you is like, I just made this team. You know what I mean? But there's still that 10% that just doesn't know.
Now, as a Giant fan, Victor, I always felt in my chest when you had that Cruz chant go through, 80,000 people going nuts.
Yeah.
It feels like the Giants locker room is trying to make that happen from Malik Nabers right now with a leak chant. I don't know. I'm not really feeling it. Doesn't only work. It's going to be one kind of Cruz deal, right?
Yeah, it's tough to get the leak chant going in there. I think – see, I was just talking about it earlier. I think the fans will decide,
right,
like, what they're going to chant for you
right.
if they create a chant. Just the fact that – listen, I mean – if you've been a Giant fan the past 10 years, we haven't had a lot to even cheer about. Right. If we just hear cheers, I'll right. be happy about that, let
you
alone a name, let alone whatever comes with that. But I love this town because the fans will decide how they cheer for you and how they root for you.
Did they have – was there one for Saquon?
No.
No?
I mean,
no.
I didn't have one.
No. No, that's why it was so original. That's why when I read the Malik Nabers stuff this week, I'm like,
trying to think who
it
else
just happened naturally.
Who else has had one other than Vic?
I don't think anyone else has had one.
The Steelers do it all the time.
I'm talking about for the Giants.
Yeah, no.
I think
and the Cruz chant, in many ways, was our own terrible towel. You could tell how many Giant fans traveled in those road games
and
stuff.
True. This is true. And I thought it was booze at first.
Yeah.
which is not the greatest thing initially. But I do remember going in and hearing it. I think it was like the third time, and I was like, oh, no, they're saying Cruz. Okay, that's incredible. And then I was like – and then thankfully I kept doing good things and kept scoring and kept, like, being a part of the offense. And everything. And then it got to the point where every time I even catch the ball, they were doing it. It was just incredible.
We're talking to Victor Cruz. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, earlier in the show I had said in 2011 when Hakeem Nicks caught that Hail Mary at the end of the half versus the Packers, mm-hmm. I sat on the couch there at my desk and said, we're winning the Super Bowl. Did you have a moment like that at all during that magical season until the clock struck zero where you really thought, man, we're winning the Super Bowl?
I think it was when we, even at the end of the season, the regular season, when we were going on the run, when we beat Dallas mm-hmm. and we beat the Jets mm-hmm. and we got into the playoffs, and I was just like, oh, we're, like, you could just sense in the locker room that every guy knew what they were doing. Every guy knew, you know, what their job was. Everybody was responsible. Nobody wanted to do more than the other. Nobody was jealous of anybody else. Like, there was just a certain camaraderie in the locker room that was just unprecedented. And then the practices leading up to the Super Bowl, I mean, I remember being – our practices were so perfect. I remember being in the receiver room after practices and our receiver coaches being like, guys, I got nothing. You guys caught everything. You guys understand this offense. We're just going to watch film until you guys want to get out of here. Like, we were that locked in.
Yeah. You know, Vic, you're in the Giant 100. This season is going to be special. It's going to start special. We're all going to recognize. I'm not, because I got to be in Indianapolis. But tell us what it means to be a Giant, to be one of the greats, to be a part of this amazing organization and the legacy that all of us have contributed to.
It's incredible, man. I think, you know, just being part of something like this, and you know, I grew up in the shadows of this place, right? So you know the Lawrence Taylors, you know the Mark Bavaros, you see the Phil Simms, you grow up with those guys, just those characters running around here and seeing their names up on the stadium walls when you walk around here. Like, to be mentioned in any list with those guys is just an unbelievable feeling, especially a guy like myself, an undrafted guy that had to fight and scratch and claw, and to be, what, number 59 on this list is just like, I mean, come on. I mean, my daughter likes to ridicule me for a lot of things today. They call me old and I'm a terrible golfer and all these things. But if there's something that I want her to remember and just know that Daddy, you know, cemented himself in something in this world, is that I'm on the top 100 list of this esteemed, organization. And that's something that they can't take away from.
Incredible accomplishment. Yeah. Can I bring up some fun negative stuff just to cleanse the palate on the Jets? Whose idea was it to get on that boat before the playoff game against the Packers?
It was a universal decision for all of us. Obviously, prior to getting on the boat, we didn't know that Trey Songz wanted to take a photo and was going to release it to the world to see.
Sure.
But other than that, we were enjoying a New Year's Day after a big win in the playoffs.
Why'd you guys go to Miami?
Because, I mean, you could blame Odell for that. I wanted to go to... I was cool with going to Queens, to a gentleman's club. I was fine with that. But Odell made a call, got us on a plane. We go down. We had the next couple of days off, so I'm not going to say no to that. Plus, somebody's got to put one of these guys in a headlock and get them out of there and make sure that we're back on the plane and back home in one piece.
So. That's the reason I asked. Why Miami? Because that's hard. Yeah. You get stuck in Miami.
Next thing you know, I mean, I blinked twice and we're in a club with Justin Bieber and Young Jeezy. And I'm just like, we got to get the hell out of here, man.
Here's the way I've always looked at this as a fan watching it. Because I remember it came out before the game took place. I said, if they win, this is a non-story. If they lose, yes, this loss will be defined by it.
Yeah.
Did that kind of distraction and that partying have any impact on what happened in Green Bay?
I don't think so. I think it just, like, listen, Aaron Rodgers is really good, okay? And he caught us in a time that, you know, we got out on an early lead and we couldn't catch up. It just was one of those things where they had our number that week.
I see what you just did, Evan.
What I
you wanted him to say Aaron Rodgers is really good.
He teed me up on that.
He okie-doked you on that.
I get it. But, yeah, man, I think it was just, look, we went out there in a playoff game and tried our best, and it didn't come through for us. And I think that was the end all. But, again, we play in New York, so we understand what the brevity of what happened on that boat and everything that it stirred and how it was going to be played out, you know, in the coming future.
Well, Victor, the problem with the boat picture wasn't going on a boat before a playoff game. It's who the hell wears Timberland boots on a boat in Miami?
Again, it's December. We literally went from the Philadelphia game straight to the Teterboro. So we didn't have time. And by the way, a lot of people don't even know this. Those are my boots Odell had on. Like, he borrowed. Yeah, he was like, yo, you got those? Because I always brought like a change. I always brought like another outfit.
You were always clean.
I was always trying to be clean. And then he was like, yo, I need something for this outfit. I don't have anything. I was like, yo, all I got is boots right now. He was like, I'll take them. And I was like, all right. Here you go.
That made him like he was in the club.
100%.
That looked like an album cover shoot.
It looked like a Bad Boys to Men album cover. is what it looked like.
When you were growing up here in Jersey,
yeah.
Obviously you were a Yankee fan. I see the Yankee
big
chain.
Time.
I know you're a big Yankee fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you a Giant fan? Were you just a football fan in general? Where was your rooting
interest? We're doing this now. We're doing this on 100 years. So I was,
you're a Cowboy fan.
Yeah,
right?
Growing up, I was a Cowboy
That's
fan.
That's okay,
yeah,
by
I was
the way.
But I was born into it. My father was an avid Cowboys fan.
It's his
fan.
Fault.
Yeah, it's definitely his fault. But here's the thing. Like, I remember driving by here all the time and obviously coming to games here. Like, I was always a fan. And, at that point, I was just like, how do the Giants find these, like, high-character guys that are also good players? And, like, we can't ever find that. And it was just such a difference in contrasting personalities in the players, right, and the type of players that each team had respectively. And I always respected the Giants for the type of players that they brought in here. And then now to be one of those players and be one of those guys mentioned in that same breath is pretty special.
By the way, there's nothing – like, I don't like the Cowboys. No one likes the Cowboys. But, man, growing up, and I'm a little bit older than you,
okay,
everybody was a Cowboy fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it just – it is what it is.
I mean, obviously in that same era, right? The 90s, late 80s,
yeah.
90s. They
That's
were winning.
They were on TV. And they were on TV all the time.
And they're on TV all the time. It's hard not, it's
it
hard
wasn't,
not to
It
be
wasn't
fan.
Democratized who got played.
Yeah.
It was, let's play the hits.
100%.
And they were the hits.
No, I think it's better to be a Cowboy fan than an Eagle fan. That
yes.
would have been a little bit more.
We can relate on that.
Yes.
We can relate on that. Eagles fans are just, they're a different breed down there.
Right. The Yankees winning the World Series this year?
That's the plan. If we can get some closing pitching, man, if we can get some guys that can close the games out from a pitching perspective. Then yeah,
Sean
we got the bat.
Sean says Ian Hamilton.
Yeah. Well, Luke Weaver closed today. So basically, what you're saying is Clay Holmes stinks.
Stinks. Stinks.
Vic, we can agree with.
We're giving up lead. I mean, come on. Enough is enough. We've seen enough.
Yeah.
To know that.
No, I totally get that.
Yeah.
Juan Soto going to stay or leave?
I hope he stays. He looks so good in the Yankee uniform. Mm-hmm. I think he's having probably one of the best years alongside Aaron Judge. And pitchers just have a problem with those guys batting back-to-back in
right.
the order.
They
like,
just walk him in and then the guys behind him can't
do walk him. So I was like, oh, we got Judge after him. Okay, sorry, we're not going to walk both of them. We got to pitch to one of them. So pick your poison on that. And then I just think in the postseason it's just going to be hell to deal with those two guys. And then the rest of them, obviously Giancarlo. I mean, we got bats all over the lineup.
If it's not the Yankees, who's the next team in this town to win a championship?
Oh, man. I mean, I like the Mets. I'm a Met guy. I mean,
okay.
I'm not a Met guy, but I understand, like.
Mm-hmm. Before the Knicks?
You don't hate them.
Oh, do you mean in sports in
yeah,
general?
In
oh,
town.
The Knicks all day. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? The Knicks all day.
You
Knicks
go to a lot day. Of Knicks games, too. I've seen you
I'm
there a lot.
I'm there. I'm in the heart. I mean, I'm almost to the point. I'm one step away from shooting a three. I'm so excited for the Knicks.
Did you? How do you get those? You call them up, be like, "Hey, I'm coming to the crib. Can you hook me up?"
I remember that always a Giant thing, the tangible thing.
Yeah.
The tangible is always tickets. The
right.
ticket. Somehow I put my hand on the sky and tickets appear. That's something that always kind of happens. But yeah, I mean, they're good people over there at Madison Square Garden. They take good care of me.
How many games did you go to last year? Because I felt like I saw you there a lot.
I was at like. Maybe, 12 games
That's
last
not
year,
bad.
15 games, including, and then I went to, like, a couple playoff games, and just, there's nothing in New York better than, like, playoff atmosphere, professional sports in this town.
Yeah,
I mean,
and they got a squad that you just want to watch.
Exactly, and they got, like, a prototypical lunch pail, fight, scratch, claw type
right.
of squad that you want to root for, that you want them to win. Now they got Mikal Bridges, and now they just doing some beautiful things over there. I'm excited to watch that team this year.
By the way, you're so right about the playoff atmosphere in this town, and it's a reminder that this building, this relatively old building now,
mm-hmm.
has seen one home playoff game
Jesus.
In its existence. And it's mind-boggling because we did see the Garden Rock with the Knicks and the Rangers, and the Yankees have been there, and even the Mets, you know, have been in the playoffs of recent past.
And this building rocked that day.
But it's one day.
As Hakeem Nicks broke into the Dirty Bird, that play, the floor shook in this
yeah, one day.
100%.
Which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, we need to get back to that that level of play again. I think it's long overdue. I think we got to, understand. Mm-hmm. Why not this year? I think we got the most offensive.
Do you believe that?
I think that we have, on paper, if you look at it, I think Daniel Jones hasn't had the type of offense that he has now in terms of pass catchers, in terms of guys around him. I think our offensive line is much improved. Mm-hmm.
It's more veteran.
And, more veteran, more guys that have seen a lot of football. And defensively, that's never been a problem. I think we've gotten better defensively this last year with Brian Burns and just bringing in guys that can attack the quarterback, which is what we do best if you look at, obviously, the championship teams.
Right. History will tell you
that. We get after the quarterback, good things happen in this on this football team. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the beauty of football here, we're going to find out in the first month of the season.
Oh, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Real quick. We're going to find out if we're a contender or pretender.
I think we're going to find out Sunday. Like, losing to the Vikings would be – Make you think this is going to be a long year.
Why are you even speaking that?
Well, this broke, Teague. I'm curious, you guys, both as former Giants. Vikings linebacker Ivan Pace, when asked about the Giants' offense this week, we about to go crazy, man. It ain't even going to be a matchup.
Ooh.
No.
Now, would that tick you guys off in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that they're going to cut out and put on the old bulletin for a little material on there, and guys are going to be pumped up and ready to rock and roll.
So that stuff does work. Like, the bulletin board material is a thing.
Absolutely. I mean, if someone says that about your football team and it doesn't piss you off, then we have a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then we have a problem.
My favorite one was Shockey. I forget who it was. And in the Colts, when I just read it to him. And that game, he trucked it.
Really?
100%. He sought him out. It's famous. You'll find it.
Yeah.
He trucked the Indianapolis Colt. And it was because on the bus over there, I was like, Shock, you see this?
Awesome. Yeah. You played that game perfectly. Oh,
yeah, he would, too. Yeah. He'd be the one.
He's the starter.
I love that.
What advice would you give? You know, Malik Nabers comes in with as much hype as I think I've seen any wide receiver after being drafted by the Giants. You're the opposite. You're undrafted. You're fighting for your job. Mm-hmm. Malik Nabers is being talked about as the inevitably greatest Giant receiver ever. He could be that. How do you kind of almost keep without too much hype getting in your head before you've ever played an NFL game?
Yeah, that's tough to do, especially in his position, obviously being drafted as high as he has, them unretiring a number for him and that whole thing. So, like, it's pretty special what he's walking into, but I just want him to understand that, like, he's not going to break every Giant record in one game. Like, it's going to take time.
It's a process.
It's going to take week after week of consistency, of good health, of understanding – you know, his role on his football team, because year after year, it's going to change. His role is going to be elevated. It's going to be more or less. Some games he's going to have 80 yards on the day. Some games he's going to have 200 yards. Like, it's just going to vary, and he has to stay even keeled throughout it all.
Well, the one thing, and I think you can speak to this, Vic, because I think the great Giant wide receivers have had the same personality in a sense, right? I know Odell gets a rap for being – whatever, loud and obnoxious, but he wasn't. He's actually very
humble.
That guy
was a hard worker too, man.
Hard worker and humble. Amani was obviously that way. Yep. Plexico was that way, even though people don't want to believe it. Like, all the Giant great wide receivers have had this demeanor. And when I met Malik Nabers, and was down in the locker room a month and a half ago, I felt like that. I thought I was going to be like loud. And
he's super chill,
he's
right?
So reserved. Chill. And we had him on. We came to visit. He's so chill.
Yeah.
So I think he has the right mindset, but once he gets on that field, that's when the dog comes out. That's what Dave's was talking about, that dog that comes out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about harnessing it the right way.
And I think you see it. When I went out and watched a couple of those joint practices, and you just see him turn it on against other guys and going up and, you know, when that ball's in the air, it's either his or no one's. Like, you see that tenacity that you're used to from Giants receivers of the past and the great ones. Like, that's what I love to see. And that's what I'm like, okay, we're in good hands as a receiver if he's out there understanding his role and how to play the game. And, you know, now it's go time. Now the games matter. Now every week is going to be, you know, for something. And we'll see how it pans out. But, listen, I got nothing but positive things to say about the kid, and I think he's gonna cement his legacy here when it's all said and done.
You're a fashion guy, all right? These jerseys they're wearing Sunday, swaggy or ugly?
Which ones they got? They're going with the throwback, the blue,
the red with the blue stripe in the middle.
Those are nasty joints, man.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm going to be honest. Those are not good.
Vic Cruz. Vic Cruz, keeping it real.
Those are not good. Keep I remember when I saw them when they showed them online and they did the photos on the Instagram. I was like, why are we doing this one? If we're gonna bring one back. I know John Mara's not going to be good. I hope he doesn't listen to this.
He's mingling. It's all good.
But can we bring the red jerseys back? You did the red one time, right?
We never won. You know what they need? Because I saw it in a photo.
Blue on blue?
It must have been Photoshop. Okay. But it was that throwback helmet with the red jersey.
Yeah.
Well, maybe so smoke good. It. It was hot. But it doesn't look – it looks like some college team. Yeah. But it's hot.
This is why these might work. They're playing the Vikings Sunday. Every time they wore the red, it was the Eagles, the Cowboys. Can you pick a little cupcake and then wear the red there? Then maybe they're not ruined forever.
That's like wearing the – you got to wear the good jerseys on a homecoming game.
Right,
You set up the little layup game, and then you got the good jerseys. Fans get riled up.
Right, then they
you
buy
sell jerseys. Yeah, you sell jerseys. Like, that's the way it works.
I appreciate your honesty about those jerseys, man, because I agree. He just bought one. He comes into work with a Dexter Lawrence, and I'm like, is he wearing a Montreal Canadian jersey?
It was better in person.
It's like a hockey jersey. It almost looks like a vintage hockey jersey is what it looks like.
It does.
That's why it doesn't sell.
Big time.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that one. Victor, we very much appreciate it. Congratulations on the list, being here in a hell of a career. You're a legendary Giant as much as you destroyed my life.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, man. Take care of my guy, Tiki, too, okay?
Of course. The great Victor Cruz. He's still running on that touchdown. Thank you, man. Against the Jets back on Christmas in 2011. Unbelievable. So I think the festivities are beginning outside here at beautiful MetLife
Stadium. Yeah, I see people collecting into the whatever. It's not turf, but whatever that is laid down there. Yeah. It is packed, man. I keep seeing the overhead shot. Well, there's a lot of people down there.
I think if you're a Giant fan on a Friday night, and maybe you can't be there on Sunday, tickets can be expensive.
Yeah.
And you're at MetLife Stadium, and you get to see all these legendary Giants, and I think there's a lot of food and activities for the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, why wouldn't you be here?
I think they have the field open and the lower bowl is open. And so, from where we're looking, we can only see up the upper decks, and it looks there's nobody here, but... As I see the video, because they're showing it on the Jumbotron, there's a ton of people that are down there on the field.
And people are doing locker room tours down on the concourse. They're doing a good job.
And Sunday should be fired up. I would expect, we always talk about this when a new season starts. Even if you're not the most optimistic, you go into a season with hope and you get fired up. And I think the fact that they're announcing the top 100 list onto the field prior to the game.
Yeah.
And Tiki will not be here, but he's being represented by a pretty good choice.
I am. Brooklyn Barber is going to be down there with me. You want to come talk about your experience coming this weekend? Come here, Brooklyn.
How about that?
Now, because I'm very curious, is she going to wave? Is she just going to walk, straight face, representing Tiki Barber, Brooklyn? Or do you ham it up? Do you act casual?
All right.
How do you handle this?
This is not your first time on the air, so be good. So this weekend, I'm in Indianapolis covering the Texans and the Colts, and they're honoring the top 100 New York Giants, and I'm one of them. Are you ready to go represent me, Brooklyn?
Yeah.
What are you going to do when they call your name on the field?
I don't know.
Or they're going to call my name, but you're going to go out there. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
You're going to wave? Why are you being shy? You are the non-shyest person in the world, but now you're being shy.
Brooklyn, this is really easy. I'm going to tell you. I watched your father run for a lot of years. You're going to look up at the crowd, and you're going to blow them a kiss.
Yeah, blow a kiss.
Oh, that's good.
And the crowd will go nuts for it.
Yes, I agree.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Remember that. Blow a kiss, crowd. You'll get 80,000 people going nuts for you.
And I think your mom was talking to Eli last night at an event.
Eli Manning?
Eli Manning was at the Breitling event that we were at. And Eli said that he would take care of you, okay?
Nice.
So you won't feel... kind of overwhelmed by all the giants that are around.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
I can count on you?
Yeah.
All right. You don't speak too much. You know she's going to talk a mile a minute as soon as she
gets off the air.
She said on the air, 15 times.
15 times. Good luck Sunday, Brooklyn.
Thank you.
Are you going to blow the kiss that Sean recommended or probably not? You can be honest with me.
Do you think that's cool?
It depends too, who I'm blowing it to.
You're blowing it to the world. I would score a touchdown, Brooklyn, I would find a camera and I would just blow a kiss.
If I'm blowing it to mommy, then no, but because that's embarrassing. But right. If it's
anybody
she's your mommy. Else,
okay, then. Blow it to all the adoring Giant fans. Can you do that?
Okay.
Can you do that on behalf of me?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, by the way, I agree with her. I mean, doing it to mommy would be embarrassing, but here's the way you're doing it. You're doing it for all the diehard Giant fans. So you're doing it to, like, you know, 80,000 people that are watching. That's a lot cooler, right, than mommy. I'm with her on that.
All right. You can do that?
Yeah.
I'm counting on you.
Okay.
No pressure.
Okay. I love you.
Love you.
Well, good luck. It's going to be a very cool event. They are going to announce everyone from the top 100 onto the field. Tiki's being represented by Brooklyn. I give it about a 45% chance that she's
going to freeze.
You think so?
And this is a girl who goes up in cheer competitions and flies and jumps through the air. And, like, she's fierce.
Right.
Oh, that's what you said. You're blowing the kiss to the cheer team.
Oh, that's right.
Ah, change that when you're in the car tonight.
I will.
Say it's not for Giant fans. Yes. Forget that. Right. It's the cheer team.
Imagine you're doing this for CJA, the bomb squad.
But it will be a very cool Sunday. It's a game you'll hear right here on The Fan, the Giants and the Vikings. And we thank the New York Giants. It's been a very, very fun day out here at this gorgeous Legacy Club. I mean, if you're a Giant fan and you're coming Sunday or any game this season, I would advise you, because the museum area is open to the public. Yep. So it's open to anybody, and you can really get an appreciation for the great history this franchise has. But thank you to the New York Football Giants for inviting us out here.
I got one question before we go.
Go ahead.
How in the hell did Mike Francesa do a 5.5-hour show every day?
They paid me a lot of money. We're back after a while. Thank you to the Jets. Thank you to the Yankees, too, by the way. They split the signal earlier today, and it's very much appreciated allowing us to be here and do the full show on FM. If you missed any of the program, you could rewind on the Odyssey app or download our podcast, Evan and Tiki. Check out Tiki on Sunday if you've got YouTube TV like me on the NFL Sunday Ticket. Sean will be on tomorrow with the Giants something show.
Big Blue Kickoff Live, 7 to 8 a.m., and I got you extended post 6 to 7:30 on Sunday.
What about Luki? You doing anything? On after the Yankees tomorrow. I'll be doing some Ricos. That's all I'm doing. And then we'll be back together again Monday at 2 o'clock. It'll be a very eventful day with the Giants' reaction and the preview of the Jet game. Have a great weekend, everybody. Keith McPherson is coming up next. Goodbye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.